For obvious reasons, I didn't have a chance to compile any other props today. I apologize, but you'll have to forgive me. Okay, you guys are sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? You still have one here?
I look forward to show and tell as well. There's another one here. Anybody else need a sheet? Keith? Thank you. Okay. So let's start. We're going to start with writing. So last week we learned basically all there was to know about writing. We learned about Scrabble and how it was permitted and how it wasn't permitted. And it actually came up with me this weekend. It's so interesting how right after I learned something, then it will come up. You know, and also on the refrigerator, you know, those magnets on the refrigerator. So we have those letters on the refrigerator. And my niece was sitting there, you know, rearranging them. So I said, oh, maybe you shouldn't do that. You know, that because people don't know. It's just they have no idea. And it's just, you know, things that you're not aware of, you learn, and you try to inculcate them. So there are other things that are related, that the rabbis decreed or wanted to prevent us from doing in order to prevent us, A, from writing, or also from doing other things that were similar to writing, that we shouldn't do on Shabbos. I'll begin with a joke. Okay? How do you say in Yiddish, if it wasn't Shabbos?
Nisht on Shabbos gezeit.
Like, how's that? Good. So a guy comes to his friend and says, "Nu, nisht on Shabbos gezeit, I'm trying to sell my car." So his friend says, "Nisht on Shabbos gezeit, how much do you want?" So nisht on Shabbos gezeit, I probably want about $5,000. He says, "Nisht on Shabbos gezeit, I can only pay you $3,000. Okay. Nisht Shabbos Geret, I couldn't go any lower than 4 in theory if I was selling my car. So Nisht Shabbos Geret, I'll come back Mincha time, I'll think about it. So he comes back Mincha time and he says, Nisht Shabbos Geret, I'll pay you 4. Guy looks at him and says, Nisht Shabbos Geret, I already sold it. It's a funny joke, right? You know, but it's a funny joke. You know, you have to take it for what it's worth. My brother-in-law told me that joke. But that will come into play today. And we're going to start with reading our passage from the Torah. The Torah says, on page 1, God spoke to Moshe saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, on the seventh month, the first day of the month, Shabbaton, Zichron Teruah Mikra Kodesh. It should be for you a Shabbaton. What does a Shabbaton mean?
Something
Sabbath-like. What does that mean? It should be for you something Sabbath-like.
Yeah.
Meaning what?
Like the Shabbos.
Okay. What's the definition of?
Like a big Shabbat.
What? Shabbat. See, but the problem is you can't say it's telling you not to do malacha. It's not just telling you not to do work. Why? Because if we look at the next pasuk, it says, "Komalechas avoda lo sashu." Don't do any work. You should bring an offering to God. So this is on Rosh Hashanah, right? On Rosh Hashanah, and the rabbis learn out that this rule of Shabbaton applies not just on Rosh Hashanah, but the rest of the year, but even Shabbos as well. But we have to figure out, what does it mean to have a Shabbaton? And we're not talking about the kind where a lot of kids come and read the Shul. Right, we're not talking about that kind. So I'm just going to quote you the Ramban. The Ramban is a very well-known source, and I think it offers a lot, and it gives a little bit of an insight into some of the halachas we're going to learn today. The Ramban asks a question, gives an answer, what does it mean? And then he says the following. Menira, Shamidrash Hazeh, the Midrash comes to teach us Lomar, Shanichtavinu min HaTorah, the Torah commanded us, Liyotlanu Minucha B'Yom Tov, Afilu Midvarim She'enam Melacha. Right, there are things that you can do on Shabbos that are not Melachal Shabbos. For example, if I ask for Milt, would you mind schlepping all of the chairs in the shul, from one side of the shul all the way to the end of the social hall, would he be permitted to do that on Shabbos?
Yes.
In your house.
In your house? It's in a building? Oh, but he schlitz at the end, right? It's a big schlep. It's a lot of work. So it says, Lo sheyitrach kol hayom limdor hatvuas. You know, let's say I've got, Shabbos is my only day to rest. It's my only day to take a break. Because all day I've got my store, it's crazy. So just on Shabbos, it's perfect downtime. I have to keep the store closed. So what I need to do is you know, measure out and restock all the items. You know, you're shaking your head. What's the malacha of restocking items? I take it out of a box and put it on a shelf.
That can be using the items.
That's your daily work.
What?
That's your daily work.
What's the malacha?
You're preparing something for after Shabbos.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Not okay.
Not okay. Misko haperos. What?
Something that you're going to have parnassa from.
So what?
So you're doing work to make money on Shabbos?
Do you ever hire a babysitter on Shabbos?
No, I don't.
You never did?
No.
Did you ever go to a catered event on Shabbos?
Of course.
Yeah, did you ever hire a caterer on Shabbos?
No.
You never had a caterer do a bat mitzvah or a bar? Well, you don't get any bar mitzvahs.
No.
Did anybody here ever have a caterer on Shabbos? Yeah, we all did, right?
At Shuvah.
What?
At Shuvah.
We do it at Shuvah all the time. We're going to talk about this next week. So the fact that somebody's making a living, you know, what about me? I give a speech on Shabbos. Am I working or am I doing it for fun?
Pleasure.
Oh. No, the pleasure is all mine. Right. So the rabbi example is not a good example because I'm 24/7. But what happens if I hire a mashgiach to come? And he's got to be there just from the hours of, you know, 10 to 1 on Shabbos morning to Shabbos afternoon. We do it all the time, don't we? It's a good question.
I hope so.
To protect the hearing.
To protect the hearing, correct. So the Ramban says, "V'lishkol haperos v'hamatzos." That's how you want to measure the fruits and the nettles. U'lemale hachavios yain. You have to fill up the barrels full of wine. U'lefanos hakelim, and to how do we say this? Clear away the vessels.
If you don't mind, would you mind closing the door again?
Sure. Yes. V'gam ha'avanim mibayis lebayis mimakom mimakom. Clearing away the vessels and moving stones from house to house. V'im ha'ita ir mukepet choma. Let's say you had a wall around it or an eruv. Udulato nu'ulot balayla, and the walls were closed at night. You om shim al chamorim. I can then load up my donkey, you know, and go from one place to the next. It's perfectly mutter. V'af yayim v'anabim u'tehim. I could take wine and grapes and figs. V'chol mashaya bibi yom tov. I could bring things from one place to the other on yom tov. V'yeh hashuk malei v'chol mekach u'memkar. Not only that, I could open up my shop. Right? So you say, oh, I'm not going to write it down. So, you know, there's plenty of ways to do it. For example, can somebody give an example of a time when we keep records on Shabbos of money things?
Have an appeal.
Right? And we keep records. Do we keep records?
Use a paper clip.
So just like you use a paper clip records, I've got a fruit store. Some guy comes in and needs fruit, and you paper clip. Did I violate the Malachas of Shabbos? No, I did not. Still at work. Yeah. The store will be open. Shop's open. The shopkeeper is giving credit. And the money changers sitting before their tables with their golden coins before them. And everybody gets up to go do work. They hire themselves out like the rest of the week. So the guy needs to make a living. So instead of, you know, building on Shabbos, he'll slap. That's his job. These yontifs are going to become hefker. They're going to become free for all. That's a joke. Even Shabbos. No malacha. Rather, Lakath Amra Torah Shabbaton. Therefore, the Torah said, it's a Shabbaton, a day of rest. Yom Shvita U'menucha. It has to be a day of rest and, how do you call it? Rest and ease. Lo Yom Torah, not a day of labor. V'zehu Peirush Tov V'yafeh. So the Torah says that it has to be a Shabbaton, not just Yom Tov, but even Shabbos. Shabbos, you have to have a Shabbaton. So the rabbis are going to take this and understand what the Torah is telling you is, in addition to the 39 malachos, there's a lot of things that a person can do that don't fall under the rubric of these malachos.
They're not Shabbos
stick. And therefore the rabbi said, you shouldn't do them on Shabbos. Now I will warn you, I'm not going to tell you all of them, because I think sometimes you have to, even not, you know, notwithstanding the speech I gave on Shabbos, you have to know the community you're living in, and sometimes it's asking people to do too much. But if you want to go check, you can look at the books and see to the extent that the Shulchan Aruch felt what a person should be doing on Shabbos. And each person has to know himself what he's capable of, what level he's capable of being on Shabbos. What he feels is appropriate for him and what he feels is not. So I'll just give you an example. One of the things that the Shulchan Aruch writes you're not supposed to do is, you're not supposed to go shopping on Shabbos. So, for example, what shouldn't a person do?
Look at the circular.
Look at the circulars. And that's a big H to her.
I'll be the first one in the store.
Okay, fine. Now look at it Saturday night.
But that's why people don't bring in their newspaper on Shabbos.
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons.
It's a big yay to her.
It is a big yay to her. It's hard. You know, I actually like looking just at the office stuff. I like looking at the computer stuff. That's just what I enjoy. But, you know,
not right.
Yeah, it's not one of those Shabbos-picky things. It's certainly not considered Shabbaton. Because nobody's going to buy computers on Shabbos. Yeah.
My ex has an apartment on Amsterdam Avenue, near Lincoln Center. Shabbos afternoon, you go out for a walk. You just want to get out a little bit. Especially
but I'm not talking about the walk is the exercise.
No, I understand.
You look in the window.
What I'm talking about, what about all the gazillion and trillion shops that you have on the street? Does that mean that you shouldn't walk and look at the windows?
I think there's a difference. You know, let me put it this way. Okay. If your aunt is on that level, then yes. Mm-hmm. Then she should walk in the park. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think I'm trying to give sensible advice.
Right.
And to tell people to understand that there are all kinds of different levels of what's appropriate on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. The ideal level is that a person who's capable should spend his Shabbos doing what?
Learning. Learning.
Sleep. Sleep. But then you should be learning. You know, don't get me wrong, but every person here should make learning a part of their Shabbos. I don't think that that's asking too much. Certainly our community offers plentiful shiurim on Shabbos, you know, to make one of those a part of your Shabbos if you can. Yeah.
We have an area.
Yeah.
People can push a wheelchair or a baby carriage. How about bike riding?
The bike riding we don't do because then but I think there's more to it. You know, I think the modern day postman, if I recall correctly, once you get into something a little more complex, right, then you get into zeros and possibilities that if it breaks you're going to fix it. So you'll say, oh, a regular person can't fix a bicycle. That's not true. Because I'm going to give an example of a regular person often fixes a bicycle.
Chain back on.
You put the chain back on. Right, it happens all the time.
Isn't it the same danger fixing the wheelchair?
There's another thing to consider, and that's the fact that when you push a stroller and you're pushing a wheelchair, there's a sharp shoulder. There's a reason to do that.
Right.
There's no reason except that it's easier to ride than walk.
Now, I'll share with you an interesting stock that happened to me in Connecticut. A guy came to me and said, a guy who drove on Shabbos, and he came to me and said, Rabbi, can I rollerblade on Shabbos? So usually I would tell somebody, you know, you really shouldn't rollerblade on Shabbos. But if it meant the difference between driving to Shul on Shabbos or rollerblading to Shul on Shabbos, you know, there's no choice. There's no question. Because what's the malacha of rollerblading? Especially if you're rollerblading to Shul. If you're allowed to jog to Shul, I can't even think of what would be wrong with that. So now if somebody would come to me and say, Rabbi, can I rollerblade on Shabbos? The answer would be, you really should not. It's not within the spirit of Shabbos. But if you say, well, I live very far, you know, even if you live outside the Eruv, and you know, it's very far. Let's even 5 miles away. So if somebody to walk 5 miles is prohibitive. To rollerblade 5 miles? Apparently, anybody here rollerblade? It's more doable. It's much more doable. You rollerblade like a roller skate. Like skates. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is that everybody, you take this, and the Shulchan Aruch does give guidelines, but I think that everybody has to look at it in their own lives and say, are the things that I do Shabbos? And to be honest with ourselves, you know, if I'm honest with myself, the answer might not always be yeah. No, you have to ask yourself that question and give yourself an honest answer, and go from there. And each of us has to make our own reckoning. Then page two. This is a Gemara in Shabbos. I thought I would share with you just a couple of the halachos that are similar to writing. We're going to do one of them that is similar to writing, and then we'll move on from there. Okay? The Gemara says, Shol adam mechavero kare yayin v'kare shemen. A person can borrow stuff from his friend. Let's say I don't have wine, so I need to go to my next door neighbor. So I go to Ida and I say, I need a bottle of wine. Can I borrow a bottle of wine? So the Gemara says, sure. Why not? Except, the Mishnah says, U'milvad shelo yomar lo halveini. Except you can't use in Hebrew the language of halveini. Will you lend me? Well, Gemara will explain. Right? And the woman can borrow, you know, bread from her friend. She ran out of challah, which happens very often, whatever, on Shabbos. You need something, you go to your neighbor, can I borrow? Except you can't use the word halveini to borrow. But in Eino Ma'amin, what if I don't trust you? How am I going to get it back? So, you know, meniach talito etzlo. Right, then he says, if I don't trust you, says you can ask for something as collateral, and then and after Shabbos they work it out. The same would happen if you had to buy a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach that happened to be on Shabbos. Okay? Okay, so Gemara says, look at this verse here, it says Gemara, source number 2. Amalei Rav Bar Rav Chanan Abaye, Maisna Hashileni Umaisna Halveni. What's the difference if you use the language Hashileni means lend me? And what's Halveni? Lend me. There's different languages. Amarlei, he says, Hashileni, the Hashiro, Lo Ate Lemichtab. You won't come to write. But Halveni, the word Halva'a, is considered a monetary loan. I see what the Gemara says, Ate Lemichtab. So the Gemara, you already see in the Gemara, the rabbis made certain kakanot, certain zeros, because they were afraid you were going to write things down. Okay? So you're afraid you're going to write things down, so therefore they said you're not allowed to borrow something with the language of halva'ah. Okay? With the language of borrowing. So look at the Shulchan Aruch, source number 6, that has come down to us. Hasho'el davar mechaveiro, somebody borrows something from his friend, lo yomar lo halveini, don't say, lend it to me. Dimashma lizman meruba. Why? Because it implies it's going to take a long time to pay you back. And if I come to you and I say, you know, can I borrow you? Think of something valuable that a person would borrow on Shabbos. I don't know. What would somebody borrow on Shabbos?
Silver.
Oh, right. I'm having guests over. I need a really good becher. What?
Or two plates.
Could be. Let's say a becher. It's very expensive. See, if you say, I need to borrow it. I lost my becher. I need to borrow it. How long do you need to borrow it for? Let's say I have a chance to get a new one. So you already know that this is your neighbor who already has your weed whacker, your shears, sitting in his garage. Right? So, you know, instinctively, if you know, also you're talking about a time where, we live in a time where all of us have five bechers. You know, people have extra things. You have a lot of stuff. You're talking about a time where people didn't have things and they needed them back. So people were much more meticulous. We're much less meticulous with what we would consider small items. Now, what would be a large item? I don't know. It'd be what? A snowblower. What? A car. Yeah. Yeah. But even if somebody lent you your car, you wouldn't write it down anymore. You wouldn't write it today, would you?
You wouldn't write it down about a snowblower for sure.
Right.
But
it's just a little, I don't know. I mean,
something you more hesitate to lend, I think.
Right, because there's a lot of implications of the car. Right, that's a lot of, okay. So the Gemara says the Shulchan Aruch. El yomer lo hashileni. Say, let me borrow it. Borrow it means for a short time. With Lashon Laz, in today's day and age, in Laz, in English, there's no difference. I say, how do you say Hashileni? Can I borrow it? How do you say Halveni? Can I borrow it? So, Sarich Shiomar, Tainli. So, all Shulchan Aruch says is, don't use the language, can I borrow? Yeah. Can I have, do you have an extra challah? Mm-hmm. Would you be able to give it to me? Don't say the word lend.
That's right.
It's a very simple thing. Just to be aware of. Just say, can I borrow a cup of sugar? I always love that anyway. Can you borrow a cup of sugar?
Yeah.
When are you going to give it back to me? Right? You know, you're going to pay me back. Right. You're not going to. The word borrow implies you're giving back what you borrowed. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? For
yeah.
Seven new items. Okay, with us. Do you have to give back ice cubes if you borrow them? Make
more
ice to give them back.
Why not? So you have an arrangement with your neighbors. You know, if I went to my neighbors, I would say, would you have any extra ice?
Yeah.
You know, right. The implication being, if it's something that small, you're not going to pay them back. Right.
But,
you know, I don't know what the line is. It's a very interesting question. You know, when you borrow something, you go to your next door neighbors, you borrow a cup of sugar.
Yeah.
Fine. You borrow two eggs. How many times are you going to borrow before they're going to get upset?
If they come to you, they'll borrow the same thing.
What?
If they come to you and borrow the same thing.
Yeah, they did. But what, you know, right.
It's going back and forth.
If there's a quid pro quo.
Yeah.
But if there's not, then it's like, you know. There is a line at which a person gets upset. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't know what the line is. Okay, so that, again, that is one of the zeros that applies. Now, obviously, there are a lot of other zeros. For example, one of the things they talk about is, let's say you live in a community, a tiny community where somebody has a store, and you can pick things up and on credit. For example, like in Israel, they have that. If you live on a moshav, if I'm the guy with the makolet, so very often it could be that a person would need a bottle of wine. I've got a zillion in the store. Can you come pick it up on Shabbos? So the answer is yes, under certain conditions. last I checked, we don't have that arrangement with Farmer Jack, so I decided to skip those halachas. And if it ever comes up, you'll have to ask a shayla of the rabbi of the yishuv. Okay? You know, but just be aware that these halachas exist.
I think it has come up with prescriptions on Shabbos for childish
care. But prescriptions, all bets are off. Why? Why prescriptions all bets are off? Right, but if you need a prescription on Shabbos and you're walking into a store, you're already violating Dinei Derabanan and picking things up.
You're thinking about the Tzilach Nefesh too.
So that's what I'm saying. We said that when there's a cholah she'ein bo sakana, remember we learned there's a cholah that's not in death of Yale but just sick. We said that what don't you have to worry about? Dinei Derabanan. Remember that we talked about it? So the rabbinic prohibitions you don't have to worry about on. So this is a rabbinic prohibition. Right, the rabbis will go there. This is not a problem on Shabbos, especially even if they're giving you a hard time. Let's say we didn't have an arrangement and you needed the medicine on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So what would you do? Yeah, you go. You go with your credit card. I would say bring your credit card.
And leave it there.
What? Leave it there. And don't sign. Say you signed for me. No, they don't care. You know, they're
holding your credit card.
Yeah, they don't care. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, so just be aware that these halachas exist, that you shouldn't buy, that a person shouldn't borrow things, you know, because you might write it down. Okay, next, source number 4. There's another whole area of zera the rabbis derived from the following sukkim. In Yeshayahu, Prophet Isaiah said the following: In tashiv misabat raglecha, asot chavatecha b'yom kadshi, v'karata l'shabat oneg mikadosh Hashem mikubad v'chibadeto miasot rechecha, mimzol chatecha v'daber davar. If you restrain thy foot because of the Sabbath, from pursuing thy business on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor it, not doing thy own ways, nor pursuing your own business, nor speaking in vain matters. So Yeshayahu, basically, he's exhorting the Jewish people. Yeshayahu wasn't talking in a vacuum, he wasn't talking to us, he was talking to people of his time. So obviously, what was the problem in his times? What were they doing wrong?
Doing business.
They were doing business on Shabbos. You know, the Navi, he was the Rav. He was a community rabbi, and he'd get up and shul, and he yelled at them. And he let them have it. He said, you know, listen, you want good things in life, you want things to be better, well, you got to follow the Torah. So how does he describe it? Just the last words. Minshol chavtecha v'dabmit. You have to not do. Me'asot rachecha. Follow your ways. Minshol chavtecha. Pursuing your business. V'daber davar. Or speaking of vain matters. This idea of speaking of vain matters. Oz, then, titanang al Hashem, v'hir karticha al bambate aretz. Then, you will delight in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. V'ha'achalticha nachalat Yaakov, I will feed you the inheritance of Yaakov avicha, ki pi Hashem diber, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Sorry, I cut it off by accident. Okay? So now we have to figure out, though, what does it mean when Yeshayahu is saying, don't do me'asod drachecha mimtzol chatzecha v'daber davar. What are those things? I mean, he speaks very vaguely, but he's exhorting the people, don't do those things. So what are those things that a person shouldn't do? So there's a bunch of them. Okay? So one of them, let me see if I can find
that.
One of them, let's look for a second. Let's look for a second. Look for a second on page 4. Okay? It is giving gifts. And this happens quite a bit. And this is something people might not be aware of. For example, you go to somebody's house for Shabbos, they invite you over for Shabbos, so everybody likes to bring a hostess gift. Sometimes you want to bring a bottle of wine, sometimes you want to bring some flowers maybe, and sometimes you want to bring, you know, a little bowl, a chaska, you know, some oven mitts, I don't know what. Okay? Yeah. What? We'll talk about it. All of these things. What? Box of candy, all of these things. This is a very common thing. Okay? It is forbidden to give a gift on Shabbos. Why? Since the transfer of ownership resembles a transaction. So we're taking it for granted that you're not allowed to make a transaction on Shabbos. So for example, Amir wants to sell me his car. So I say, okay, Amir, how much you want? Like my joke that I started with. How much you want? $1,000? So, did we just do a malacha on Shabbos? We shook hands. Let's say we made a kinyan. Not a kinyan. We're going to use a book as a kinyan. Here, I pick up the book. This will be symbolic of our transaction. I got the car. It's my car.
Mm-hmm.
Did I do any malacha on Shabbos? No. Mm-hmm. But the rabbi said, no way. Under no circumstances. Yishayahu was railing against that. You're so firm. I learned the Shulchan Aruch. There's no malacha of picking up a book on Shabbos. Ha! Mr. Frumi, that's great. But you're also not letting us sell cars on Shabbos either. Right. So, in addition, the rabbis prohibited giving gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And because giving gifts very often is a very common practice in the business world, and it resembles a transaction. Okay? So let's look on page 4. It is forbidden to give a gift on Shabbos since the transfer of ownership resembles a transaction. Mm-hmm. It is even forbidden for a husband to give a gift to his wife and for a parent to give a gift to his child. What happens? You want a business trip to come home right before Shabbos? You bought your wife a pair of earrings? Hold on to them. You're not allowed to give a gift on Shabbos. There's a dispute among the postmen as to whether this prohibition applies to giving a gift to a Gentile. Okay. There is, however, one exception to this prohibition. It is permitted to give a gift on Shabbos to enable the recipient to perform a mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because you're going to say a bracha on it.
You're going to say it.
Oh.
So usually the host or hostess opens it and pours some bread.
What would be another good example where it's very common to give a gift on Shabbos in order to do a mitzvah? Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Yeah,
right. I didn't say that.
Yeah, right.
That's a good question. It's a good question. Yeah.
Do you give the blessing?
What?
Challah.
A challah. So that's how they're going to eat it now. So if it's not really a gift if you're giving it to use. If you're giving it for right now. So the question is, can you give a bottle of wine and then have them decide not to use it? That's a good question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What? We'll see in a second. What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all these things are permitted, as we'll see in a second. Okay? Let's look at the Gemara. Back to page 3. Back in the Gemara. This is the Gemara in Daf Kufnun. There's a whole list of Gemaras about what's permitted and what's not. The Gemara says, so I'm Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. The Pakti Bikuach Nefesh or Bikuach Rabin B'Shabbos. You're allowed to go investigate for to save people's lives, obviously, and also for the needs of the community on Shabbos. V'horchem Lebatei Knesios. You have to run around from shul to shul. The pakeach al iskei rabbi b'Shabbos, to oversee the needs of the community on Shabbos. So, meaning the Gemara gave a whole list of prohibitions and says, but you're allowed to do things for the needs of the community. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Rabbi Yochanan, hokim le tarteot ule kirkishaot ule bashlikaot. Anybody know what a bashlikaot are? Bashlika, basilikas. Very good. What's a basilica?
Church.
Oh. The Fakeach al Iskei Rabbi B'Shabbos. Why would a Jew go to a church on Shabbos?
There's a shul in there.
No, there's no shul in the church.
There is an animal.
Yeah, not that kind of shul.
Theaters.
Right? Yeah, the circus was considered a community square or whatever. Normally places you would not be permitted to go on Shabbos, because if there's a community need, if you got to go see the local yokel, for whatever reason, there's a pressing community need, that's permitted on Shabbos. Listen to this one. The Tana de Bein Menashe. Mishalchin al hatinokos le'ares b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do erusin. You know what erusin involves? How you affect a marriage? What do you have to do? A kinyan, an acquisition. So you're allowed to do that on Shabbos.
That's after people don't get married on Shabbos.
Well, no, erusin you're allowed, not nisuin.
Oh.
But erusin you're allowed. Anybody know where this is from? There's a reference to this. What? Erusin means, and you have a marriage, and people don't know this, but every marriage involves two parts. There's erusin and nisuin. Okay? The erusin is the initial marriage. In the initial marriage, the woman becomes forbidden, not just to everybody else in the world, but even to her husband. That's erusin. She becomes betrothed to him, but married only to him. And then the second part is nisuin. Okay? In the ancient times, erusin would take place at a certain time, the husband would travel to the city and marry her with erusin, and then perhaps a year later, they would get married, nisuin. Why would they do it that way? I have no idea, but that's just the way they did it. Nowadays, it's all one fell swoop, right? You give the ring, and then later on, the brachas of nisuin, the chuppah, and it's all said and done all at one time. There's a bunch of different elements to nisuin as well. You might notice there's something called yichud, Anybody ever see there's yichud after a marriage? What's yichud? They put the couple into a room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isolation. Why? That's an element of nisuin as well. The isolation is an element of the nisuin process as well. So anyway, so why would you want to marry up a girl on Shabbos? You know, these are pressing matters. You know, you have an opportunity, you want to grab it. So, and it's really an issue that the Chazal felt was so important that a person wouldn't want to delay it for after Shabbos. Anybody ever heard of the song Ma Yedidus? Right, it's in there. Right? Yehurim, Uhutarim, Ulishadecha Banos. What is Yehurim? You're allowed to have thoughts about business, but not do actual business, tangible anything. Ulishadecha Banos means you're also allowed to marry off your daughters. Right? So that halacha is in the song. There's a lot of good stuff in the song. Okay? And we'll also see, how does the rest go? Tinok lelamdo sefer. You're also allowed to. Tinok lelamdo sefer. Educate a child in learning.
Mm-hmm.
Or what is that telling you? Of course you're allowed to educate a child in learning. We're going to see soon. Okay? Let's see. Mishadra li tinoko se ares b'shabes. Ve'al hatinok lelamdo sefer ulelamdo umanus. I'm allowed to hire somebody to teach my child on Shabbos. Right, so I'll say, Amir, what are you doing with yourself? Well, I'm out of a job. I really didn't like the medical thing. Well, how would you like to teach my son biology? He needs to know the biology. Fine, no problem. Good. Right, am I allowed to make that deal on Shabbos? That's a business deal. Says, you're allowed to. 15, no klalam dosei. You're allowed to hire somebody on Shabbos in order to teach.
Teach
everything? It says, Sefer Lulamda Umanus. What's an Umanus?
Trade.
A trade. That, why?
A trade without the implements of...
No, you're not doing it, you're hiring him to do it.
Right. Then you take the needle and you sew, but I can't show you how to do it?
No, you're hiring to do it on Shabbos to do it later.
Mm-hmm.
But you're making the deal.
Oh, you're hiring him on Shabbos, but he's not going to do it.
Correct. You're making the deal. Okay. So how do I do? Amar Kra says the Torah, Mimchochef Tzecha V'daber Davar. Recognize that? Mimchochef Tzecha V'daber Davar. And Sayahu told them not to do those things. It says, Chafat Tzecha Asurim. Your... Needs are not permitted, but chesed shamayim mutarim. The needs of God are permitted. So, what's the need of God? And it's very interesting. Listen to Gemara. What's the need of God? What's the need of God?
The mashgiach that you mentioned.
No, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that next week. What's the need of God?
For you to learn.
Educating your children to have a living. I mean, the radical thing for the tape. God wants you to get a job. Isn't that scary? But what kind of world do we live in where that's like, you know, a shocking thing?
I think it's a funny old Yehudah Kitanis. I know a rabbi. If I were to see this rabbi, I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't call that an umnus unless you think he's going to be a professional guitar player.
Oh, you can hire him on Shabbos.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire him on Shabbos for that, you know. But, you know, I'm going to comment on it because it's not just me commenting on it. The Chafetz Chaim is going to comment on it. I brought in a quote to share with you, just to talk about it. Okay. Says, let's go to Shulchan Aruch. Chafetz Shamayim mutar ledaber behem. One is permitted to talk about the needs of God. Kagon, for example, Chesbonot shel mitzvah. Let's say, for example, somebody needs to be buried. Right? An indigent person needs to be buried. So yeah, somebody has to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's money that has just been involved, and there's pressing time.
So
you're not allowed to pay. You're allowed to talk about it. You could talk about it if the need arises for, you know, mm-hmm. or the need for a mitzvah, kasvachon. Ulifsok tzedakah. Right? For example, mm-hmm. people are very upset. They really get really angry. It's the most not Shabbos dick or Yom Tov dick thing to do to talk about money
mm-hmm.
in the shul.
Mm-hmm.
So my answer to them is always, you know, you're absolutely right. It's terrific. All you got to do is pledge $20,000, more than in any... What? What? And then, no, we'll do, I guarantee you I'll cancel the appeal right now. And I would. Right? If it's that important to you. But, you know, these things, you know, to run a shul, to run a school, to run a community institution, it takes a lot of money. It just so happens that shul is where people are, and Yom Tov is when they're willing to give. When they're thinking about those books in front of them... You know, they're thinking about their parents at Yisker. That's when you're the most ready to open up. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the time to take advantage of that.
Why do they have to announce it? Doesn't each person feel responsibility when they're saying Yisker that they have to give tzedakah?
Well, we live in a world of a society where people deal in social situations. There is such a thing. And it is absolutely correct. It is totally, you know, empirically true that when money is announced, people will give more. It's true. It's just true. And guess where God created us? I don't really think it's a shortcoming. You know, if somebody knows, they feel pressure to give as much as their friend gave. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
And,
yeah. What's wrong with that? We compete about everything else. How am I not competing about giving tzedakah?
I find it distasteful.
Yeah, me too. I think
so did the rabbi.
What?
So did the rabbi.
What, he liked everybody to give too? They didn't have repeals in his show?
He liked everyone to give privately.
I hear you, but the bottom line is, you know, if it was that way, you know, I have a friend who is a rabbi in the show, and they have a pre-appeal. Mm. And if they reach a certain goal, then they don't have the appeal in Yom Kippur. Mm. If everybody felt so strongly about it, then they would... Mm-hmm. Tony up, you know, like, okay, we know what we got last year. So let's raise it 3%. Cost of living increase for the show. Right? Would we meet the goal if it was private? What do you say, Mr. Treasurer? It's much harder. It's much harder. I'm telling you it's harder. You know? It just is. That's the reality of it. So therefore, the Torah says, the Halacha says, that's Chesed Shamayim. That the Rabbanim were not gozer against, because that's a need for God. To deal with the needs of the community, to marry off a child, that's permitted. To teach them Torah or to teach them a living.
So when you say, can you, when you say to marry off a child, do you mean make the arrangements to marry off your child? Did you
I think to make the verbal arrangements.
Okay.
To marry off
you're
a
not
child.
Talking about,
but there was money involved.
Right, there were chickens and cats.
There was a lot of money involved.
Okay.
I mean. Well, we live in a very romantic time where, the money, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line was, back then, you know, look at Fiddler, right? Who you marry him off to? The one who could provide the best, basically.
Yeah.
Right? The one who can offer the best and the most money. And that was a big deal. Marrying. What?
He's not a doctor, don't marry him.
No. Not in today's day and age. I know plenty of doctors that aren't making millions of dollars either. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. V'davka l'daber im rocheli hishtaker. You're only allowed to ask him if you want the job or not. But to hire him, ul haskir lo schum ma'ot, but to say, I'll give you 20 bucks an hour, that's asur, that's not permitted. Okay? Hagar, our Rambam says, yesh omim d'makom shenogim yitim l'koreb of Torah misha beirach. Anybody ever heard of that? Right. Sometimes a guy gets up an aliyah for the Torah, and he gets a misha beirach. Okay? The noder l'tzedakah o l'chazen. And he gives money to the tzedakah or the chazen. Well, I never know that one. Hold on, I got to underline that one. Or the rav, right? He wants to give money to the rabbi. Right? That's permitted, perfectly permitted. Sarche Shemayim. The asher b'shabbos l'sal kama l'yitain. He shouldn't tell how much he's going to give. V'haninag l'hakel. We are lenient in this area. Why? Denogin damuta l'sal tzedakah. So tzedakah again. So therefore, if a person says, I'm going to give a certain amount of money, and then we're allowed to announce it. Now it's interesting, in our shul, it depends on the gabbai. It depends on the gabbai, really. It depends on that, on who the gabbai is. Some gabbai only announce my tana. What?
Right, most
but last Shabbos we had a...
Don't say the amount.
But last Shabbos we had an amount.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Because he said the amount. Usually the gabbai, when he says, he won't even ask you the amount. He'll say, you say my tana.
Right,
but that particular individual decided how much he was going to give.
Right.
Right, so if he decides, then you're permitted to announce it. Every now and then you'll get an amount.
It's forbidden to make plans for after Shabbos when you're in Shabbos.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how plans.
Our plans. I mean,
how much money to give? Again, you're right, but we're permitting it in order for the needs of the community, if there's a community,
okay,
and things of that nature.
Okay.
And that's, you know, the Gemara talks about also, let's say, for example, a person has a loss, loses a parent, or loses whatever, and they need to be in a certain place. So they're allowed to go to the edge of the town. They're not allowed to go outside of town on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
But they can go to the edge of town in order to be ready to go right after Shabbos.
Okay.
Yeah, but only in certain circumstances. Okay. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Look at Lamed Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah. See where it says Lamed Gimel? How am I doing time? It's little tiny letters, I apologize. What? The letters get even tinier.
We've done it.
Okay. This is Tzedaka. Here. The Afilu HaChazan Ashir, even if the Chazan is rich. Kevan Shenodin Lo Kadeshi Palel Yisnei HaAmud, since they give him to Davin, Havei Tzarech Mitzvah, it's the need for a mitzvah. Okay, I want to skip down a little bit. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Ukniyat, see what it says? Ukniyat makomot b'beit ha-knesset? About, I'll just read it about halfway down. Ukniyat makomot b'beit ha-knesset? You want to sell seats in the show? V'chein kniyat etrogim min ha-kahal achar gman mitzvatan. Let's say you finished using your esrog. So somebody says, I'll buy that esrog off you. Shekonim osam la'achila ol ha-riyach. They're going to eat them or to smell them. L'kulei alma aser. You cannot sell seats until on Shabbos. Okay? Skip down. Vihine. See what says the Dalid and then Vihine? Vihine. Mekach u'memkar. Buying and selling. Echad b'peh v'echad b'mesira aser. Whether you actually speak about it or whether you actually exact a trade, it's forbidden. Why? Zera shema yavo le tiva. Again, the rabbis were afraid. This is Shabbos Kuret. Right? I sold my car, so the guy said so, I'm going to have to write it down. You know, if you sell enough stuff, sooner or later you are going to come to write it down. You're going to make a notation, you're going to do whatever. The gam, surely came by tanala chavero. See where it says? You're also not allowed to give a gift. The dam in the mekachamemkar, it's like buying and selling. Shahareyo, same year, shuto. It's getting going from my possession to your possession. Ella dibumatana mutar, when is it permitted? See that? There's our app for basically most of those things. If you're doing it for the Shabbos or Yantar, then it's permitted. So can you give a challah? Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you give a cake? Yes. Can you give a bottle of wine? Yes, because you don't know they're not going to use it. You know, I would say also, if somebody brings a bottle of wine, the appropriate thing to do would be to use it if you can. Mm-hmm. Right? And sometimes three people bring bottles of wine, and it's ridiculous. But there's nothing wrong with giving any of those things. That's permitted. Those were all permitted on Shabbos because it's for the needs of Shabbos. That was never forbidden. Okay? Yeah, I just wanted to get to that point. Yeah.
You're not going to see your friend again.
You know, it's, you know, everybody's Shalach Manos has become Okay, Aviva, gift to the wife to use on Shabbos.
Anyone have a pen?
Alright. Okay.
Oh.
What?
Paper?
Here, can you read you a pen?
Okay. Send me an email. Okay.
Well, on Yantif, it is.
What? No, you, this is Yantif too.
Because Rabbi Weil's favorite simcha, Yantif simcha for man is wine and butter, and for woman is jewelry.
Yeah, but he would give beforehand.
He would give beforehand.
Yeah, beforehand. Yeah. So after I check that one out, but he would give it beforehand. Sure, right. You're supposed to give your wife something before you have dip, and she should cook you a good steak. Right. Let's go back to go back to page four. What? Steak. Permissible methods of giving gifts on Shabbos. Okay. Page four. Turn to page four, please. Even when a gift is not needed for the purpose of the mitzvah, it can be awarded if the transfer of ownership does not take place on Shabbos. This can be accomplished in one of two ways. One, the donor should hand the gift to a third party who is not a member of his household before Shabbos and have that party lift it 3 tefachim from the ground with the intention of acquiring it on behalf of the recipient.
Uh-huh.
This is what we do.
Do you have to do with that in front of the person?
No. So, for example, tefachim are 4 inches. Foot. Sure, 4 inches. This month, okay. Just lift it up. So, for example, we give a seder to Bar Mitzvah boys on Shabbos before on on Shabbos. So I'm not allowed to give him a gift. So what I do beforehand is I try to remember really a lot, is I say, I have in mind, on behalf of the shul, I'm lifting this up on his behalf, and it becomes now the property of this bar mitzvah boy. And then I can give it to him on Shabbos. And that I'm allowed to do, because I'm allowed to say, if I wanted to give my palm pilot to Gene Tram, I could say, theoretically, I'm lifting this up on behalf of Gene Tram, and it's now the property of Gene Tram. And then who does it, if I put it down, if I meant what I said and I put it down, who does it belong to? It belongs to Gene Tram, regardless of whether he knows about it or not.
I suppose so.
Yeah, but it's not Shabbos now. Regardless of whether he knows about it or not, it belongs to him. That's halacha and the Shulchan Aruch, and that's, everybody acknowledges. Okay, so that's one. Two, when they hand a gift to the Shintin recipient on Shabbos with the instruction that the recipient bear in mind not to take title until after Shabbos, I don't recommend that one. I don't recommend that one. You know, it's like, that's a little too cheaty. You know, oh, it's not a... Thanks for this beautiful book, I love it, but of course I'm not going to be the owner of it until after Shabbos. Okay, technically that works, but that's one of those technical loopholes that I think, you know, it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. So if somebody were to give you a gift on Shabbos, for example, somebody comes over to you and, you know, over to your house and brings you a bowl. So instead of saying to them, did you hear Rabbi Schultz here about not giving gifts? I wouldn't embarrass them. I would instead do the second option and say, oh, thank you so much. I'm going to save this until after Shabbos. You know, you can say that and not hurt their feelings. And maybe carefully explain to them, I heard this great shiur. Check it out on the web. Right. You know, because you don't want to insult them. But if you're going somewhere, either bring a bottle of wine or bring it before Shabbos in order to, I wouldn't recommend option number two, loophole number two. Yeah.
What if you've inscribed the book before?
So again, if you've inscribed it before and then lift it up for them, make it kinyan. If you've inscribed it,
already got their name in.
That's already an action. You're changing the book itself. That probably would be enough. But you just have in mind that it should become theirs. You have to have in mind that it should become theirs.
What if you use the bowl and fill it up with good stuff?
To use?
Yeah, right on Shabbos.
Well, then the stuff, then again, the stuff you can give them. The bowl.
No. If somebody brought me a bowl,
uh-huh.
I'd say it's beautiful, and then I'd put candy or whatever.
You use it right away.
Again, but they're, well, they're giving you something for a need on Shabbos. I see what you're saying.
Can you use it for Thanksgiving?
You can use it once.
No, that's a misconception. Don't get me started.
Oh, really?
Yes. Right. There is no hetzer to use something that's not been told about the first time.
Unless it belongs to somebody else.
Unless it belongs to a non-Jew.
You're saying that if you go to someone's house and they didn't tell something, you can't eat on
their Yes. Table? If you know for a fact, yeah. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll have to do that, but we're doing Hilchos Shabbos. We're not doing Hilchos...
I didn't hear what nothing but that.
There's a mitzvah asay de oraisa. This is the oraisa. This is asay. That one has an injunction. One is obligated to tovel their dishes. Tovel their, not necessarily dishes, but their silverware, anything metal, glasses, the rabbanon, etc., etc. So if a person did not tovel their dishes, then one is forbidden from using those dishes because it's a bit, every time you use it, you're being mevatel the aseh, the deraita. But you're not allowed to use the dishes unless they've been tovel. And if you were to go to somebody's house and you know for a fact that they didn't tovel their dishes, you'd have a tough time eating there. I mean, it's really tricky sometimes. Family things and all kinds of fun stuff like that. It's a very tricky thing. And you have to sort of ease your way into it. Also, there's a very common misconception that one is permitted to use things for a first time. Why do people think that? The reason is because, let's say, for example, you buy a foil pen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Foil pens, you don't have to tovel, according to our Moshe Feinstein, even if you're going to use them 10 times. Because a foil pen, by definition, is temporary. So what I think happened, this is my own theory, is that people figure, since I can use a foil pen one time, I don't have to tovel it, that must mean that the first time is a freebie.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with the number of times. It has everything to do with how it's made to be used.
Right, it's kind of both, not
meant
to be temporary.
Correct, exactly. Okay, so this is a very well-known misconception in the Jewish world. But I digress. Okay, I'm a Sunday.
Okay, lovely.
3 minutes? Okay, I guess you know what we'll do. Actually, I could do measuring and weighing. Okay? You're not allowed to measure and weigh. What? Exactly. You're not allowed to measure and weigh with any kind of measuring implement. So, for example, you can't use a measuring cup to measure your salad dressing if you're making a salad dressing on Shabbos. You can't use if you want to make iced tea. So, how do you make iced tea usually? You take the little scooper, right? So you can use the scooper if you're approximating. But if you're using, usually people use it to measure it, 3 scoops. No? Steve just dumps it in. Okay, fine. That's permitted. Right? Okay. You're not allowed to use a scale. You can't get on a scale. You're not allowed to use a... Here's my prop. Prop for the day. You can't use a tape measure. Ooh, 9.5 inches. Right? You're not allowed to measure. The rabbis forbade measuring because it's... You see, the shade is prohibited at all forms of measuring on page 4 and weighing, whether for commercial or personal purposes.
What?
Because you might write it.
No. No? Close. Measuring and weighing, that is of a commercial nature, falls under the previously mentioned prohibition against business. Like you said, that you might write down. Mm. Right? When a person comes to measure things, a person comes to measure your kitchen, he's doing it for business. Mm-hmm. Right? He wants to write it down. Mm-hmm. Although the transaction is not yet concluded, the sages forbade measuring and weighing itself. Measuring and weighing for personal purposes are forbidden because they fall under the category of uvda d'chol. This is one of these nebulous halakhic categories that basically could include anything. Some things the rabbis just felt don't belong on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Right? Why do you need to measure your arm length on Shabbos? Ooh, I really need to get a 17 and a half shirt instead of a 17. Right? Neck. Right, good. What do you need to do that on Shabbos for?
Because you're leaving space. Sunday morning.
So you're doing something that
you're
about when you're trying to learn what a
tefach
is.
Oh, very good, very good. Except, I've actually mentioned Mr. Bura, and he writes, one second. Look at Zion. Zion in Shulchan Aruch, source number 6 on page 3, and I'm really running out of time. Zion. Mutar limdod b'shabes medida shel mitzvah. If you're trying to do a mitzvah, you want to know how much do I need to have enough wine in order to have the cup for Pesach, the seer. Very often, somebody will be intolerant to wine, or they're very sensitive to alcohol, or even grape juice, salicylates, whatever they put in wine. So they want the minimum seer. So they're permitted to get that cup in order to know exactly how much they're allowed to have. Because rabbis will only go there. It's not that for a mitzvah you can do it. The gezeirah never applied to a mitzvah, so that would be permitted. What about if a person is sick? What do you think? What if a person's sick?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Since, remember, it's a Rabbanan, right? And if a person is sick, you have to measure medicine, especially carefully. It's already measured out, one pill. But when you had a whole powder, you needed the exact amount. It's very important to know how much.
What about
the kid?
A cup of instant coffee, where you use a teaspoon to measure.
So, are you measuring? I don't think that's measuring. I think you're putting a spoon. You know what I'm saying? If you were measuring, if you really cared exactly a teaspoon, what would you do? You would take a measuring spoon, because I think a regular teaspoon is not a teaspoon. Right? It's not a teaspoon. You're just taking a spoon.
Yeah.
Why not? Well, what kind of shot is this one?
Yeah.
So you can mix it up. It's approximate. You cannot measure. You have to approximate. Just guess. Which is basically, you'll get the same thing anyway. Right.
Yeah.
To mix it with the food?
It's
talking about crushing. Right? We talked about that. I don't want to get into that right now. Yeah, dump it in. Good, dump it in. Have fun. Right, you're certainly bringing it in. So everybody, I just want to go back to where we started with. We started with a joke about Shabbos. But I think it's not a joke. This idea of being sensitive to what we're doing on Shabbos is an important thing that really relates to all of us in a practical way. And each of us has to ask ourselves again, do I need to go through this catalog, or is this appropriate for me? And to find our level at which we think we're sanctifying the Shabbos. And hopefully we will do that and then fulfill the prophecy of Yeshayahu. He says, "Az titanagal Hashem v'hikarticha ba me'aretz." Then you shall delight in you're in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride up on high places. I feed you with the heritage of Yaakov, your father. We say, when is Mashiach going to come? Yeshayahu said it for us. And we're as meticulous about the mitzvah, because if we want to set his brother to be with us, then the Mashiach will come and we'll be redeemed. So, have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.